السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ ومغفرته ورضوانه وکرمه وفضله وفیضه. الحمد للہ الحمد للہ رب العالمین والعاقبۃ للمتقین والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين وعلى أصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. Today, I intend to speak to you from my heart, and I intend to tell you a few things which are of utmost importance. These are things to safeguard our iman, through which we can enter eternal bliss, and without which we would burn in the fire of hell forever. And thus I ask you all to listen to me attentively and try and understand as much as you can, because what I will say today is very, very important. And before I do begin, I would like to ask you all to come closer. Those who are old or they have an injury because of which they need to sit against the wall, then that is fine. جو بزرگ لوگ ہیں وہ آپ چاہے تو آپ بیٹھے دیوار کے ساتھ, کوئی حرج نہیں ہے. The closer we sit, the better it is. So it feels like we have a study circle and we are studying. Before I begin, may we all send durood sharif upon the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى sent the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم to us to ensure that we accept iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we safeguard our iman until we leave this world. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created evil, shaitan, iblis, in order to counter that and try his utmost best to misguide us and take that iman away from us. And this is a war between good and evil. And this has continued from the beginning of creation. If you look back into the beginning of creation, the reason why Iblis was thrown out of the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because he tried to say that Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam is not better than me. He said, Khuliqtani min nar, I have been created from fire, and you have created him from clay. I am better than him. This was his knowledge, this was his intellect, this was his analogy, which was false, it was invalid, it was void. Because if you think about it, humans are made of water and clay, and sand, soil. If there is a fire, can the water put that fire out or not? Yes, it can. If you get lots of soil and throw it onto the fire, then that will put the fire out as well. Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam was without doubt more superior than Shaitan. But Shaitan, he tried to level himself with Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw him out of his court. Eternal damnation for Shaitan. And since then, it has been the duty of Shaitan to try and misguide people and try and take Iman from the hearts of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified the fact that Iman is the most important and valuable gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned many, many gifts and ni'mah that Allah has given to us. Many different ones. From the falling of rain, the growing of crops, the beautiful mountains, the wind, the air, hot air, cold air, cool air, and our bodies, the nails in our bodies, the food and the drink and the clothing, all types of gifts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. But never has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ, because of these. That Allah shows that He has given these gifts to you. Allah never says that. But only at one point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah shows that He has given you Iman. And there is one more place where He says, إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا, that when Allah sent a Rasul amongst you, that Allah shows that. Ihsan jatata hai. Now, somebody may say that there are two places where Allah says this, but we say that the Messenger of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is Iman. He is our Iman. And therefore, even though it's mentioned in two different places, it is only Iman. Because, as Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala says, ki Allah ki sartab qadam shan hai ye, in regards to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that He is from head to toe the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ki sartab qadam shan hai ye, insa nahi insan, wo insan hai ye. He is such a human that there is none like him. That is the human he is. There is none like him. Quran to iman batata hai inhe. The Quran says that He is Iman. The Quran tells us that He, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Iman. Aur Iman ye kehta hai, meri jaan hai ye. And Iman says that He is my life, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is Iman. So Iman is the most valuable thing we hold, and that is held in our heart, and our mind, and in our soul. Now, think to yourself that we have many, many valuable things. For example, somebody has a car. The cars are now fitted with alarms. Why are they fitted with alarms? This is to safeguard the car. Because it's a valuable property, you need to safeguard it. You need to protect it from damage, anybody coming near it, or you need to protect it from being taken away from you. In the same way, in our houses, we have an alarm system, or we have locks to lock the house. This is again protecting your valuable property. In the same way, if a man has a lot of money, if he has a pile of money, for example, and he has it in his pocket, and let's say he goes to buy a ticket for the cricket game. He goes to buy a ticket for the cricket match. Sri Lanka's playing against another country. And he stands in the queue. While standing in the queue, he thinks to himself, I've got loads of money in my back pocket. There's so many people here. Somebody may steal it from me. So, he thinks like that. He thinks, I need to protect this money. So he will do everything he can to ensure that money does not get taken away from him. He may even think, forget the match, let me go on first, safeguard this money, and then I may come back. That's what he thinks to himself, because he is worried about his valuable property. He tries his utmost to protect that property. In the same way, a person will not go to an area where he knows that people there are those who hold weapons, and there's a lot of crime going on there, there's homicide going on there, people killing each other. He won't go there in order to protect his own life. Ye hota hai na, this is common sense. Everybody does this to protect their valuable property. But what I'm telling you now is that the most valuable thing from all the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you have today is your iman. Your iman is the most valuable gift. And there are so many out there trying to take that iman away from you, but you don't even realize. You don't realize. It is your duty to ensure that you protect your iman. Now, in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was there, he protected the people. After the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he protected the people. He went out on war against he who claimed to be a prophet. He claimed to be a prophet of Allah, Musaylimah Kazzab. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala went and had a war against them. And they finished them off in order to protect and safeguard the iman of the believers. Because if you think about it, if a person comes and he says, I am also a Muslim, I also believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I am a prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is a danger to your iman. If the Muslims hear this person and he has a very sweet way of talking, he attracts people, people will think, you know what, he might be saying the truth. Let me go and listen to him. He goes and listens to him. And when he goes and listens to him, sometimes he likes things that he says. And then he starts listening to him more and more, and then he starts following this person. That is what you call a danger to your iman. And Sayyiduna Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala didn't make this decision. This decision was made by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. He himself ordered an army to go and fight against Musaylimah Kazzab. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that the Muslims, the believers, need to be protected from such evils like this. This is the work of shaitan, who is trying to work and take the iman of the believers. And that's why Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala went and fought against them. After that, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he fought against the Shias, he fought against the Kharijis, they went out on war. What was this for? The Shias called themselves Muslims, the Kharijis called themselves Muslims. Why? Why did they have to go on war against these people? Because Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala was ordered by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when such people appear who are misguided and who believe in things that I did not believe in, then fight against them. Stay away from them. Do not say salam to them. When they become ill, وَإِذَا مَرِضُوا لَا تَعُودُوهُمْ. Do not go and visit the sick. Don't go and see them. Because these people are misguided. These people are from amongst the Ahlul Bidah. These people are the Mubtadi'een. Stay away from them. And if you can, then fight them. And Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala had the hukuma of Islam. And that's why he went and fought against them. Who were the Kharijis? The Kharijis were those who said that we are Muslims. We are Muslims. But do you know what they said? When Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala had a dispute amongst them, they both decided that we will choose one decider from amongst each other. One Sahabi will decide from my side and one from your side. They will sit together. They will discuss the matter using the Quran. Whatever decision they come to, we both will accept. And in that way, we will end all dispute. And do you know what the Kharijis said when they heard this? They said, O Ali, you are a mushrik. And O Amir Muawiyah, you are also a mushrik. You are both mushriks. Because Allah says in the Quran, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Hukum is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are choosing another person to become a hakam from your side. And O Amir Muawiyah, O Muawiyah, you are choosing somebody to become a hakam from your side. This is shirk. This is partnering somebody with Allah. And therefore you are both mushrik. MaazAllah. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidul Mufassirin, he who was gifted by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in understanding the Quran, he went and did a munazra against the Kharijis. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala sent him to do a munazra, to do a debate with them. And he debated with them. And he told them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that when a husband and a wife have dispute amongst them, then hakamam min ahlihi wa hakamam min ahliha. Hakam from her side and a hakam from his side, they should both get together and decide. So if that is shirk, then this is shirk. Allah is teaching shirk. Ma'adallah. And some people, they were guided again because of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. But others, they remained firm on their misguidance. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala spent all of his life fighting against them. And he would order the people. He would do wasiyah to people. He would leave a will behind. And he would say to people that when you meet these people, don't say salam to them. When you walk past these people, look away from them. Don't sit with these people. Don't ever eat with these people. Don't ever visit them when they become sick. Don't ever give your daughter in their nikah. Don't ever give your son in their nikah. Because these people are from amongst the Ahlul Bidah. This was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala did the same. And many other Sahaba kiram, Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, all of these Sahaba kiram used to warn the people that stay away from these people. And do you know why they used to say this? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had said, these people who are from amongst the Ahlul Bidah, they are kilabu ahlin nar. They are the dogs from the fire of hell. These people who are showing beliefs or speaking of beliefs that were not there in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these people are the dogs of the fire of hell. Stay away from them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ فِي tariqin, you know, when you see one of these, this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us, because of his foresight, he says, when you see one of them in the pathway, فَقْفَهِرُّ فِي وَجْهِهِ, then in his face, show disgrace in your face. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْغُضُهُمْ, because verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despises them. Therefore you show that in your face when you see them as well. These people are the Ahlul Bidah. These people are from amongst the Ahlul Bidah. Stay away from them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, La tusallimu alayhim, don't say salam on them. And when they say salam to you, do not answer their salam. He says, Wala tusallu ma'ahum, don't ever perform namaz with them. What does that mean? He didn't say don't perform salah behind them. Oh, he never mentioned that. He said don't perform salah with them. That means that don't even pray behind them and don't even lead them. Don't even lead these people, because if you become the imam and there are misguided people performing namaz behind you, that makes you the imamul mubtadi'in, the imam of the bidatis. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all of these. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, he said, Sayati alaykum rijaluna kadhabuna dajjalun, that men will come to you. And this is extremely important, because this is for your iman, and that is the best gift you have. And this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling you. He says that near the end of time, many men will come to you. Kadhabuna. Many, many men. He says that they will be liars. Jhoot bolne wale. And you know, kadhab is an exaggerative noun. It means they will lie so much. They will lie so much that they will be the biggest liars of their time. And then he says, Dajjalun, that these people will be dhokebaz, meaning deceiving people. These people will deceive you. How will they deceive you? You know, when you go to the market, you see shops. And you know the shops, they sell goods. The goods they sell may be of good quality or they may be of poor quality. Before in the past, people used to be honest. And they used to show that my products are not that good quality. But do you know, today, people are very deceiving. The shop shows that their products are extremely good quality. The name they have on the board of the shop shows that it's very good and it's all original stuff. you will buy from here. But you know, when you see that product or that material, you then find that, no, wait a second, this is not original. This is all fake stuff. This is fake. It's not good quality. This is what we mean by deceiving people. These people will come to you with a sweet voice. They won't say to you that, I have come to take your iman away from you. I have come to stop you from praying namaz. I have come to stop you from fasting. They will say that, I have come to take you towards namaz. I have come to take you to the masjid. I have come to show you how to fast. I have come to show you how to look for the moon when the moon needs to be sighted. I have come to correct your aqidah. I have come to show you the path of salvation. This is how they will come. And Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, and this is the reason why he says, ke suna jangal raat andheri chhai badli kali hai, sone walo jaagte rahiyo choro ki rakhwali hai. Do you know what that means? It means suna jangal, meaning the time we are living in is not the same as the past. When people used to come and they used to stand on top of the mountains and they used to say that we believe that the Qur'an is a makhluq of Allah. The Qur'an is a creation of Allah. We are creations of Allah. The Qur'an is a creation of Allah. You must believe that the Qur'an is a creation of Allah. That was that day when they openly used to tell us what they believe. But people like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala, at that time they fought against that. Not only Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, before that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala fought against that. He gave a fatwa. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala passed the fatwa that person who says that the Quran is a makhluk of Allah, he has committed kufr. He has become a kafir. Because the Quran is the kalam, the speech of Allah. And the speech of one is his attribute. And the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not created. They have always been and they will always remain. In the same way, after Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala, after he finished that fitna, in the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, that fitna rose again. It rose again and people were openly doing speeches that the Quran is a creation in the same way as we are creations. But Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala openly passed the fatwa. The king of that time, he forced people to believe that the Quran is a creation of Allah. But Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal wasn't scared of the king. He wasn't scared of the government. He wrote his fatwa and he openly preached his fatwa up to the extent that they put Sayyidina Ahmad bin Hanbal in jail radiallahu ta'ala. But do you know what happened when he was in jail? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much because he protected the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so many gifts that he used to be in jail, but people used to see him walking in the streets. He would be walking in the streets and he would be preaching to the people that the Quran is not a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. When the news came to the station, they went and looked for him in the jail and they saw that he was still in his room. He was still in his room, yet people were still seeing him outside. He was doing the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the king, he became so angry, he called for Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. They had his shirt taken off him. He, on his bare back, he was struck with a whip. And they would say to him that, say that the Quran is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, all he said on his tongue was Allah, Allah, Allah. And they would strike him and he would say that the Quran is not a creation of Allah. The Quran is the sifat of Allah. And they would strike him again and he would say the very same again. Up to the extent that they struck him so hard that his tie on his waist came off. And when it came off, it was just about to fall and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal stopped saying Allah, Allah. And he says, Ya Allah, I protected your kalam, your Quran from these people. Now you protect my respect. You protect my honor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressed or showed this karamah to the people that his waist, although the tie was open, it stayed there and it wouldn't move from there. And his honor was protected. And do you know what? Because of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, even after that king passed away, it continued. And people committed zulm against Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. But he stood alone and he never stopped preaching the correct opinion. And he made people aware that stay away from these people who say that the Quran is a creation of Allah. And do you know, because of that, today everybody says that the Quran is kalamullah. Nobody says that the Quran is makhluqullah. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Nobody says Quran, Al-Quran or Makhluqullah. In that day people used to say, in the Makhluqullah it says, in the The Quran is the makhluqullah, but today everybody says, in the kalamullah it says, oh, this is the kalamullah. This was because of people like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala. And this continued in the time of Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala, even in the time of Imam Bukhari radiallahu ta'ala. And this continued and continued. Do you know that people even tried to fabricate a hadith towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? People tried, this was all shaitan's work. Shaitan trying to take the iman away from the hearts of the believers. Shaitan tried so much, he even tried to fabricate a hadith on the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to misguide the people. The hadith waqala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a sahabi said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it was so easy for them to make them up, fabricate them, make false ahadith up. Once Hazrat Harun Rashid, in the time of Harun Rashid, when one of these fabricators was brought into court, Harun Rashid gave the order that this man be killed for fabricating ahadith against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the hadith says that he who fabricates a hadith, then he should make his destiny in the fire of hell. So Harun Rashid says that this man must be killed. And you know, when he says that, this was the time of Sayyiduna Ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala. And Harun Rashid, when he said this, this man says to Harun Rashid, that where are you, Aina Anta, where are you from the thousands of ahadith, 100,000 ahadith that I have fabricated? Where are you from them? What will you do? You will kill me, that's fine. You can kill me, but I have left behind thousands of ahadith which I have fabricated. You will not be able to destroy that. And Harun Rashid says to him, that where are you? Where are you from the people like Imam Ibn Mubarak? They will pick every single hadith out and say that this one is fabricated, throw it away. This one is fabricated, throw it away. This one is fabricated, throw it away. Do you know why this is? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafizun. That we are the ones who reveal this religion. We are the ones who reveal this remembrance. We are the ones who reveal this Quran. We are the ones who have revealed this religion. And we are the ones that will protect it. In the way that the Old Testament of the Jews was distorted and their religion was changed and altered, in the same way that the Bible, the New Testament, was altered and changed, people altered it, people distorted the words, in the same way we will not allow this to happen to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will not allow this to happen to the religion of Islam. I am the one who will protect it. And that's why Allah gave people like Imam Ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala. Do you know these people? These people were like, you know, the sarrafa, the one who exchanges money. Jo paise badalta hai wo. You go to a sarrafa and you give him a bundle of notes and say, I want to change this for this currency. He will pick out the fake ones just by touching it. Because that's his profession. He can do that like that with the clip of his fingers. In the same way, people like Imam Ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala, they were so well versed with the words of Allah, with the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they would know that this is impossible to have come out of the mouth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew that this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, this is not the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith. This was the way Allah protected iman. And then we come to our time. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. Look back into the time of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. Not far back from us, there were so many fitnas. There were so many different beliefs trying to distort the iman of the people. The Muslims were being attacked. Their iman was being attacked from all different ways, different directions. There were people, there was Ghulam Mirza Qadiani who was saying that he is the last prophet, he is another prophet of Allah, ma'azallah. There was Bahayyat from Iran who claimed to be a prophet of Allah, ma'azallah. After the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was the Devbandism who were disrespecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were saying that Muhammad is just like us. It says in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا. Say that he is just a normal human being. Say that I am a human being like you people. This was all happening in the time of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. The Shias, there were so many different Shias. There were those who were swearing at Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. There were those who were swearing at Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, to our mother Sayyida Aisha. They were saying that ma'azallah, she is an adulterer, ma'azallah. This is what was happening in the time of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. Gandhi was holding the Quran in one hand and the book of the Hindus in one hand, and he was saying that all these religions are the same. There was Nichriyat. Nichriyat were those people who only believed in intellect. That which the mind can comprehend is correct from the Quran, and that which the mind cannot comprehend is wrong in the Quran, ma'azallah. Do you know where the Quran says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ? Have you not seen what Allah did to the people of the elephant? You know this surah, the Nichri people, Sir Sayyid, these people, they used to say, this is impossible. How can small birds throw stones, little pebble stones, that do the work of an atom bomb? How is that possible? How can they destroy an elephant? Therefore, this is wrong. This is not correct in the Quran. And they call themselves Muslims. These were all the different types of fitnas that were occurring in the time of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. But he himself stood firm. He came out into the Maidan, into the field to fight all of these. And he wrote with his pen, and he attacked Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. And he proved that Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani is wrong. It is impossible for there to be another prophet after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has said in the Quran that he is the Khatamun Nabiyyin. And Khatamun Nabiyyin means that there will be no prophet after him. And therefore, Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani is a Kazzab. He is a Dajjal, he is a deceiver, and he is a great liar. He is a grave liar. Stay away from him. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala protected people from Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. In the same way, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala wrote against the Nichri people, those people who followed their intellect. And he, Sayyiduna Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, showed to the people that these things may not come into our intellect, because we cannot do that, because Allah has not given us that power. But is it not possible with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If Allah can create us and then give us life, give us death, then can Allah not do something like this? If it is Allah who created the sun, Allah is the one who brings the rain down, then can Allah not do that? It is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through which these things were happening. And then Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu, he fought against the Shias. He fought against every single sect that Shaitan had made to attack the Muslims' Iman, and he protected the Iman of the people. And this is why today Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala is remembered all around the world. And not only that, you know, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala didn't only protect the Iman of those in India, in the subcontinent, but Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, he went to Makkatul Mukarramah when he went for Hajj. And do you know when he went for Hajj? The second time he went for Hajj, the ulama-i kiram in Makkatul Mukarramah, they had a question in front of them, which said that if a man says about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that huwa al-awwalu wal-akhiru wal-zahiru wal-batinu wa huwa bi kulli shay'in alim, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the first, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the apparent, the zahir, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the batin, the hidden, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the knower of everything. A man who says this, what is the hukum of this man? And do you know, if it wasn't for Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, the fatwa from the ulama-i harmain was going to be that man is a kafir. That man is a kafir. But when Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala came, do you know what the ulama in Makkatul Mukarramah said? They said that your coming here is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. For you are here to safeguard our iman. And they gave the question to Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. And Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala, he wrote a book. He wrote a book called Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyya Bil-Baddatil Ghaybiyya. And do you know why he wrote? He called it Bil Maddatil Ghaybiyya, because he had nothing on him. He had no books, nothing. He wrote everything from his own mind. And he wrote for 6 hours. He wrote this book for 6 hours. And then when he was requested to add another section, he wrote on another day, continuously for 2 hours. And he gave this book. He gave this book to the ulama-i kiram of Makkatul Mukarramah. They presented this book in front of the king of that time. And Muhammad, the king of that time, he looked at the, he listened to the book being recited to him. After he finished listening, he says, okay, Allahu yu'ti, Allah is the one who is giving this to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is giving him the sifa of being awwal akhir, zahir batin, and he is giving him the knowledge of the unseen. Al-ilmu bi kulli shay, wa haulai yamnaun. And these people are saying that Allah didn't give it, Allah gives it, yet these people are refusing. Why are these people refusing? And then the king of Makkah at that time, he gathered the ulama kiram that were present in Makkatul Mukarramah for Hajj at that time. And do you know, in Hajj, all the ulama kiram from all around the world used to attend. And they were all present there. And there was ulama from Syria, ulama from Jordan, ulama from Yemen, ulama from Turkey, from all around the world. They were all gathered and they were given an invitation by the king. And they all sat down and this book was recited to them. The book of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. After the recitation of this book, the king asks an individual, that what do you think of this book? Do you agree that this is correct? This is the religion Islam? And do you know, one of them stood up and he says, that you are asking me what I think. I have been thinking in my mind that I am now going to go and do sajda in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in thankfulness, in gratefulness that Allah, you have given us such a human being who has so much knowledge, who has protected our iman today. Subhanallah. And then the other ulama-i kiram were asked, other ulama-i kiram gave all these answers, that this man, they said that this man, huwa ayatum min ayatillah, wa mu'jizatum min mu'jizati rasulillah. This man is, you're asking me about the book that he has written, I am saying that this man is a verse from amongst the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a sign from amongst the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a miracle from amongst the miracles of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala didn't remain a mujaddid of his time, he became the mujaddid-e-azam of his time. Because he didn't only protect the faith of the people in the subcontinent, but he protected the faith of all the people in the world. And that is why today people in Yemen are still following the Sufi beliefs. People in Syria are still staunch believers of the beliefs that the Barelvis have. The reason why is because Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala protected these beliefs. And this is the reason why I am telling you this, is even today there are people out there who are there to attack your iman. There are people out here today that are coming to you and saying that we are Muslims. We believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest of mankind. There is none better than him. He is the best. I believe exactly as you believe. But do you know these people? These people are not true. These people are deceiving people. They say this to you, but really, in reality, they are not. They are not the same as us. They have hidden beliefs. They hide their beliefs in the same way as those deceiving people in the market who sell fake products tell you that it's original. In the same way, these people come to you with false expressions. They show to you that they are believers, but in reality, these people are not believers. You need to be aware of these people. And do you know how? How do you become aware of these people? It's simple. In today's day and age, a very simple way of knowing who is on the correct belief is see if he takes the name of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala or not. If he takes the name of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, then know that he is definitely without doubt one of ours. And this is not me telling you this. This is the ulama of Haramain Sharifain. After Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, many of our ulama kiram from the subcontinent went to India, went to Hajj or Umrah. And when they would go, the ulama would ask them, مَا تَقُولُوا أَنْ Imam Ahmad Rida al-Barelvi? What do you have to say about Imam Ahmad Raza from Barelvi? This is what they would ask. And when one of our ulama kiram said that he is our imam, he is our everything, he is our protector, he is our murshid, he is our murad, he is our leader, that's when they would embrace these people. And one of our ulama kiram asked, why do you ask this question? They say that our forefathers, the ulama-i Harmain, the great ulama-i Harmain, they said to us that when a person comes from the subcontinent, then say the name of Imam Ahmad Raza in front of him and watch his face. After saying the name of Imam Ahmad Raza, look at his face. And if his face changes in disgust, then know that he is not one of us. And if his face changes that it becomes bright and he starts smiling, then know that he is one of us. This is the ulama-i Harmain who have given us this way of recognizing. And then you know the Devbandis? The Devbandis are those people who are known to be the most deceiving. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says that this is that time when people come to you and show that we are believing the same as you are. The Devbandis, do you know what they do? They say, we believe in the ilm ghaib. We believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nur. We believe that it is permissible to do Fatiha. We believe that this is permissible to believe Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hadir and nazir. It is permissible to say, Ya Rasulullah. But do you know at the same time what they have written in their books? They have written in their books that he who believes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ilm ghaib, he has committed shirk. He who does Fatiha to the deceased, he has committed shirk. He who does Milad, he has committed shirk. He who says, Ya Rasulullah, he has committed shirk. This is what the Devbandis have written in their books. So don't be deceived by what they say. Don't be deceived, because the truth is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already warned us that these people will come to you, and they will come to you, and they will talk to you about things that you think are the same as what I told you. Remember last time when I came, I mentioned the hadith from Bukhari Sharif, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that near the end of time there will be people who will dress like us, and they will have long beards. They will wear the imama, or they will wear the Muslim hat, and they will do tabligh of the deen, and they will call towards Islam. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they are du'atun ala abwabil jahannam, that they are callers towards the fire of hell. They are on the door of hell, and they are calling you towards the door of hell. So stay away from them. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And do you know, one of our buzurgan deen, one of our elders, one of our pious predecessors, he says that he once saw in his dream that he was in a jungle, and whilst he was in this jungle, he came upon this really long man, a man who was really tall, and he was lying and sleeping in the jungle, and he was snoring really loudly. When he saw this person, he thought, what is this man sleeping here, and how big is this man? How big is this man, and how loud is his snoring? He wakes him up. Hazrat wakes him up and says to him, "Ki, who are you? Why are you sleeping here?" He wakes up and he says, "I am Shaitan. I am Iblis. Now go away, let me sleep. I'm resting." And then he tries to go back to sleep. Hazrat says that if you are Shaitan, if you are Iblis, then it is your duty to go and live amongst the people and misguide them. You are supposed to attack the iman of the people. Why are you resting and sleeping over here? He laughed really loudly. He laughs loudly and he says that, why do I need to go and work? I have created so many ulama who are doing my work and misguiding the people and taking their iman. Now it's time for me to rest. This is the time that we are living in. And that's why Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, Shahad dikhaye zahar pilaye. They show you honey, but in reality that honey is poison. Shahad dikhaye zahar pilaye. Qatil Dain Shahar Kush. This is the type of people they are. They will come to you and show you honey, but in reality this will not be honey. And that's why it is important that we all become aware of these people. If you want to protect your faith, do you know what Huzur Muhaddis Kabir always said to me? He says to me that when you have this many associates, then reduce them to this many. And then reduce them to this many. And then reduce them to this many. And when they are this many, then you will know that your iman is safe. Your iman is safe. Do you know, in the same way as you will never allow your child to go and play with the drug dealers and the alcoholics, because you fear that he will become one of them, in the same way you must protect your children and yourselves from hanging around or associating with those people who have misguided beliefs. Because you may become one of them. And some people say that my iman is so strong, your iman may be weak. My iman is so strong that they cannot misguide me. So don't worry about me. I have strong faith. You worry about yourself, you stay away from them because your iman is weak. Some people say this. But the answer to that is, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered this to the Sahaba-e-Kiram, that you must stay away from them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ki, they will say things that you have never heard before, neither have you heard them from our pious predecessors." And he says, "Fa'iyyakum wa iyyahum." Keep yourself away from them and keep them away from yourselves. La yudillunakum wa la yaftinunakum. Because if you stay with them or let them come near you, then maybe they will misguide you or they will put you into fitna. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. So we are doing this not because our iman is weak, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us. And do you know the Sahaba-i Kiram, Sayyiduna Ibn Abi Mulaika radiallahu ta'ala, and says, I met more than 27 Sahaba-i Kiram. And none of them would ever say, Ke inni ala imani Jibreel. My iman is just the same as Jibreel alayhi salam. Because he is masoom, he can never lose his iman. Mine is exactly the same. None of the Sahaba-i Kiram used to say this. They all used to say that, Oh Allah, protect us from becoming misguided. Oh Allah, protect us from becoming misguided. Oh Allah, protect our faith. We don't know when our iman will leave our body. Oh Allah, you protect it. This is what the Sahaba-i Kiram used to say. So have you become more greater than the Sahaba-i Kiram that you're telling me today that your iman is so strong that you don't need to worry? How is that possible? Nobody can have stronger iman than the Sahaba-i Kiram. Yet people are today saying that I have strong enough iman, don't worry about me, ma'azallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such stupidity, such daftness. How can somebody claim to have iman stronger than the iman of the Sahaba-i Kiram? Subhanallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and this is a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that only he who has iman will fear the loss of his iman. And he who does not have iman will not fear the loss of his iman, because he doesn't have it. If a man has wealth, only then will he fear the loss of that wealth. If he doesn't have any wealth, then he doesn't have any worry. He doesn't need to worry. He can go and stand in the queue to buy a ticket to watch Sri Lanka, because he doesn't have nothing, that he's got nothing to lose. But when you have something to lose, that is the time that you fear. And that's why Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala said, Ke sone walo jaagte rahiyo, choro ki rakhwali hai. And do you know what sone walo means? It doesn't mean those people who go to sleep. It means sona. Jiske paas sona hai. Those people who have gold, sone wale, yani the possessors of gold, jiske paas sona hai, wo jaagta rahe. You stay awake if you have gold in your heart. Choro ki rakhwali hai. Because the people that are guarding these places, they are all robbers and thieves. So if you have gold in your heart, if you have iman, that gold is your iman, then you stay awake. If you don't have gold, then go. There's no point you trying to protect yourself, because you don't have any gold. There's nothing to protect. And this is the only reason why, I don't know about Sri Lanka, where if Tablighis come here or not, but in England, you know, the Tablighi Jamaat people, they only come to our houses, the Barelvis. They will never knock on the door of a Shia. They will never knock on the door of a Qadiani. And do you know why? What I understand is because a chore only goes to that place where there is mal. Jahan maal hoga, wahi se chori hogi. Jahan maal hi nahi, wahan kya fayda jane se. That is the reason why I understand that they don't knock on the door of a Shia. They don't knock on the door of a Qadiani. They knock on the doors of Barelvis and people from amongst the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So I am here, I am telling you today that this is very important, that you safeguard your iman. Safeguard your iman and stay away from people who have beliefs that are those beliefs which our pious predecessors didn't believe. An example of that is Tahir al-Qadri. He has beliefs which are against our pious predecessors. Another example of that is Mufti Menk from Africa. He comes to the UK. And do you know, in the UK, even the Devbandis in the UK, there's one place in the UK, even the Devbandis rejected him from entering. They said, no, we will not allow him. Do you know why they did that? Because he's an extremist. He comes to you with a smiling face. He comes to you with really sweet talk. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, near the end of time there will be people who will have a profession of talking. They will have magic in their voice. They will attract people towards them. This is one of the works of shaitan. You need to stay away from people like this. Do you know, this man says, he says that there is no need for wasila. I have been told, since I've come here, people have told me that he has said that there is no need for wasila. We don't need to say Ya Nabi. It is wrong to say Ya Nabi. We should go direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says the wasila and all of this is worldly things. We should go direct to Allah, because we all have an equal opportunity to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'azallah. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Do you have the equal opportunity to reach Allah in the same way as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has? Al-ayadhu billah, people sit there and listen to this, yet they don't realize. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this. This is not the fatwa of Imam Ahmad Raza from Bareilvi. This is not the fatwa of an alim today. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, from amongst the people there are those who say, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. I believe in Allah and I believe in the Day of Judgment. I am a Muslim just like you. And Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are not believers. They are not believers. This is the Quran telling you this. You know, some people say, oh, ye log ta aise hi baat karte rehte. But no, we don't say this. It is the Quran that is telling you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are not believers. No matter how many times they say, we believe. Don't believe them. They are not believers. Allah says, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. These people think that they are deceiving Allah and they are deceiving the believers. They think that. But Allah says, وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They are not deceiving anyone but themselves. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. But they don't realize. They don't realize that they are deceiving themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the kuffar, the disbelievers, Allah said about them, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them is a great punishment, a severe punishment. But about these type of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. For them is an extremely painful punishment. And wherever Allah talks about these people, who are attacking the Muslims from within, saying that we are Muslims, Allah always uses alim, which means the punishment itself feels the pain of the punishment. That is how painful this punishment is. And this is for these people. Think to yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world as a world of asbab and means. Everything has a wasila in this world. Everything has a wasila. You cannot be born without the wasila of your parents. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu btaghu ilayhi alwasila. Wasila is everything. Allah says to reach Allah, seek a wasila. And the translation of this in Mufti Azam Hind Alayhi Rahma's words, Wasle maula chahte ho to wasila dhund lo. Wasle maula, to join with Allah, if you want to do that, then find a wasila. بے وسیلہ نج دیو ہرگز خدا ملتا نہیں. Without wasila, it is impossible to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know the Kaaba, the last speech I did, I told you that the Kaaba is a wasila to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To worship Allah, he says you should go direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where will you do your sajda? Towards whom? Where is Allah? Do you know that the word where is not even correct for Allah, because Allah is free from time and space. You can't even say where is Allah. Kaha sajda karenge jab wasila nahi manenge to. If you don't believe in wasila, where will you prostrate towards? You have to follow a wasila. And not only that, I'm not just saying this. Look into the life of the Sahaba Ikram. Look at their lives. All throughout their life, wasila, wasila, wasila. Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah. Mufti Mang says, Ya Rasulullah is wrong. Do you know why they say that? They say that because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away and he is not alive anymore. He can't hear you. He can't call him. You should go direct to Allah. But you know the Sahaba Kiram, always, Ya Rasulullah, we have no water. Ya Rasulullah, my memory is weak. Ya Rasulullah, there is no rain. Ya Rasulullah, I have broken my hand. Ya Rasulullah, my eye has fallen. Never ever did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Ke, oh my Sahaba, before you used to commit shirk by going to other than Allah and asking for help, you have an equal opportunity as myself to reach Allah. Go and ask Allah for it." He never ever said that. But instead, do you know what he said? He said to the Sahaba Ikram, إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمٌ وَاللَّهُ يُعْطِي. I am the only person who distributes and Allah is the one who gives. Subhanallah. Allah deta hai, main taqseem karta hu. This is what he said. In other words, keep coming. Keep coming, I am the one that will give. Allah is the one who gives to me and through me you take. This is a hadith in Bukhari Sharif, not just in one place. In more than one place this is mentioned. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّمَا أَنَا قَاسِمْ وَاللَّهُ يُعْتِي. رب ہے معتی یہ ہے قاسم, رزق اس کا ہے کھلاتے یہ ہے. And that is why Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, کہ وہی رب ہے جس نے تجھ کو ہما تن کرم بنایا, ہمیں بھیک مانگنے کو تیرا آستہ بتایا, تجھے حمد ہے خدایا. Allah makes him the wasila. And Mufti Mank says, کہ oh, there is no wasila, go direct to Allah. Ma'adallah. How is that? Subhanallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking a sahabi, ke salma shi'ta, ask from me whatever you want. Subhanallah. Bukhari Sharif mein dekhe, salma shi'ta, ask whatever you want, I will give it to you. Sayyiduna Rabi'a Aslami radiallahu ta'ala says, ke as'aluka murafaqataka fil jannah. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, I ask for your companionship in Jannah. Subhanallah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, okay, go and ask Allah, I cannot provide this. No, he did not say that. He says, Awa ghayra dhalik, I will give you that. Is there anything else you want? Kya uske ilawa aur bhi kuch chahiye? Awa ghayru dhalik. Kya aur bhi kuch chahiye? Do you want anything else? Ask me, I will give to you. That I will give you in the hereafter. What do you want today in this world? And he says, Ya Rasulullah, that is all I want. And do you know what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? فَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. That help me on your own self by performing so as many prostrations as you can. What does that mean? You know, some people misunderstand this. What the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, help yourself by performing as many sajdas as you can, if you want to go to Jannat. And I have given you that, you will get that. What that means is, O Rabi'a Aslami, I am not saying that if you don't do sajdas then you won't get there, because I have given you that. What I am saying is, when you get there, there are people of such great statuses there. They have so many a'mal-e hasana that you will feel ashamed of yourself when you are there. Therefore, do as many prostrations as you can, so that you have so much in your book of deeds as well. So when you come amongst them with my companionship in Jannah, then you will not feel ashamed of yourself. That's why, do as many sajdas as you can. Subhanallah. Ye wasila nahi to kya hai? He is asking Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, in Bukhari Sharif, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will be 70,000 people from amongst my ummah who will go into Jannah without hisab or kitab. No hisab, no kitab. And he says, wujuhuhum kal qamari yawm al badr, that their faces will be so bright that they will shine like the full moon. These people, لا يدخلوا أولهم حتى يدخل آخرهم حتى يدخل آخرهم. That the first person will not enter from amongst them 70,000 until the last person has entered. The first will not enter until the last has entered, which means all of them will enter together into Jannah. Sayyiduna Uqasha radiallahu ta'ala says, Ki ya Rasulullah, adu, make dua that I become from amongst them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have said, go and ask Allah. You have an equal opportunity to reach Allah as I do. Why are you asking me? But Sayyiduna Uqasha radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, ki ya Rasulullah, make dua that I become from amongst them. And do you know the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even say, ki Allahumma, Allahumma ja'alhu minhum. Oh Allah, make them from amongst them. Make him from amongst them. Oh, he said nothing. All he said is, anta fihim. You are from amongst them. You are from amongst them. Subhanallah. This is the wasila of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, this Mufti Menk comes and tells you people such things that there is no such thing as wasila, and you people still go to his speeches? You are still supporting this person? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that stay away from these people. Yet you people are rebelling from the statements and the orders and the commands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and still going to listen to speeches of this man, supporting him, increasing his audience. Al-Ayadu Billah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such. You know, this man, he also in one of his speeches, he said, as I have been told, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just a human being like us, a normal human being like us. Hamari tara maamuli bashar hai. Al-Ayadu Billah. How dare you say something like that? Something that even Allah doesn't say. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that I will not say it, but you have to say it yourself. Qul, O Messenger, Qul innama ana basharum mithlukum. You tell them that I am a human in the form of you people. In the same way as you all have a body, I have a body. That form I have come with, I am in the form of you people. Allah tells the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say it himself, because Allah didn't want to say it. Do you know, when a person has a great status, and he with his modesty says, ki main to ek kameena hu. If he says that, then that does not mean that now we all can call him a kameena. Ye aadmi to kameena hai. We can't say that. You know, if your sheikh, your own peer or murshid, your own teacher says, ki hum sab kameene log hain, or hum sab kutte hain. So that does never give you the right to call him a kutta or a kameena. You can't say that. You can't call him a dog because he says it. That is his modesty that he says that. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so beloved, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say to the people, all those who have believed, he, Muhammad, is just a normal human like you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell them, ki ana basharum mithlukum. Do you know why that was said? You know, in the time of Jesus, what happened with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was that people committed shirk, they believed him to be the Son of God after he had left. But in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was not the case. But the case was that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to show to the people that I am in the form of a human being and I am following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you should also be able to follow them commands. Because people would have said, if he was an angel, that, Ya Allah, this is an angel. That's why he does all of this. How can we do this? Hana? People could have said this. And that is why Allah chose humans to be sent to amongst mankind. But do you know what? The people who say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a human like us, ma'adallah, are those people who are imitating the kuffar of the past. This, to say this, that you are a human like us, or he is a human like us, has always been the way of the kuffar. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that the people from before, this is what they used to say about the Prophet of Allah, that he is nothing but a human like us. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The people who had committed kufr, they said, مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلُنَا. Mithlana, we have not seen you but a bashar, but a human like us. This is what the kuffar said to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Very same thing, the people, the kuffar in the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. The same thing in the time of Sayyidina Shu'aib alayhi salam. The kuffar always said this about the prophets of their time. In the same way, in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, these people are saying to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he is a normal human like us. But do you know the kuffar of Makkah? The kuffar of Makkah, Makkatul Mukarramah, they would not accept him as a prophet until he showed that he was not a normal human like us. Until he didn't show to them that he can split the moon into two, they were not ready to accept. They said, a prophet cannot be normal like us. You have to show us that you are not normal like us. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam split the moon into two. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought the sun back after it had set. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave life to that which had died. Qum bi idhnillah, stand in the name of Allah, and that which had died had come to life. Now these people say that he was just a normal human like us. Then get that person and tell him, take him to the graveyard, take him to a grave, dig the deceased body out and say, come on, bring that person to life. If you are the same, then bring that deceased to life. He says, okay, oh, that wasn't his power. It was he was saying, Qum bi idhnillah, say, stand in the, by the hukum of Allah, that's why the body was standing. Then say to that person, why don't you say? Tum kaho qum bi idhnillah. You say the words qum bi idhnillah. Let's see if the deceased body stands. And if it doesn't stand, then know that verily Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is nowhere like us. He was far greater than us. He was the greatest of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do you know, he went to Mi'raj. The messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Mi'raj. He saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now this Mufti Meng says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't see Allah. That is all false. But do you know Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala an, he used to become so angry when somebody asked. He would say that he did see Allah, he did see Allah, he did see Allah. And once somebody asked Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and he was sitting on a chair with his back leaning against, he was sitting down with his back leaning against the wall or against something. And a person asked, okay, did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam see Allah on the night of Mi'raj? And Sayyiduna Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala, he moves forward, he leaves the leaning, and he comes forward, and he takes a long breath, and he says, Ra'ah, 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 until his breath goes. He says, he did see Allah, 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 all the way until his breath goes. This is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and this is Mufti Meng. You choose. You choose who you want to follow. Do you want to follow Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, or do you want to follow this person? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is saying that he saw Allah. Hazrat Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is saying that it was ru'yatu aynin. He saw with his actual physical eye, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala says that I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hal ra'aita rabbak? Did you see your Lord? And this is in Muslim Sharif. Imam Nawawi radiallahu ta'ala, a great Shafi'i scholar, he mentions this. He says, okay, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asked, okay, Ya Rasulullah, did you see your Lord on the night of Mi'raj? And Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Naam, yes. Nuraniyun. Yes, I did see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was completely full of noor and brightness. Subhanallah. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I saw Allah, and this man says he didn't. Ma'azallah. You need to stay away from people like this. These people think that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. But these very people believe that their cousins and relatives deceased, they are alive in their graves. That's why when they go to the Qabristan, they say, As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-qubur. Salam upon you. All those people in the graves. This is what they say. This is the order of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To say salam to those in the grave. Would Allah ever order us to do something useless? Allah is free from that which is useless. Allah, abas se paak hai. Allah does not create anything. It's in the Quran that Allah doesn't create anything that is abas. He would never give you the hukum to do something useless. And that is why when you come to a wall, you don't look at the wall and say, Assalamu alaikum ya jidar, O wall, salam upon you. Do you ever say salam to the wall? Do you ever come to the masjid and see this chair and say, Assalamu alaikum chair, how are you? Never. We don't ever say that because we know the chair cannot hear and the wall cannot hear. We don't say salam to useless things. But we say salam to the people in the grave because we know they are alive. We know that they are alive. You can say, Ya Ahlul Qubur to them. Ke, O Qabr Wale, O those in the grave. But you can't say, Ya Rasulullah. You can't say, O Messenger of Allah. Ya Ahlul Qubur, you can say, Ya Rasulullah is shirk. Al-Ayadu Billah. Maybe they believe that these people in the grave are their prophets. But our prophet is Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why we will believe and we will say Ya Rasulullah. Because we are the believers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You must stay away from these people. Look at the difference. This man says this about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you can't say Ya Rasulullah. You cannot use him as a wasila. And he is a human being like us. And this is Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala who says, ke wo sarvare kishvare risalat jo arsh par jalwagar hue the. He says, ke wah kya judo karam hai shahe batha tera, nahi sunta hi nahi mangne wala tera. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, ke zameeno zama tumhare liye, makino maka tumhare liye, chunino chuna tumhare liye, bane do jahan tumhare liye. He says, ke اشارے سے چاند چیر دیا چھپے ہوئے خور کو پھیڑ دیا گئے ہوئے دن کو عصر کیا یہ تاب و توا تمہارے لیے. This is how he praises and speaks about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this man, he says that he is like us. He can't hear us. You can't say Ya Rasulullah. Sayyiduna Jibreel alayhi salam, there is a hadith. Jibreel alayhi salam went around all of the creation of Allah. And he failed to find any equivalent of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this Mufti Mank, he has found so many equivalents. We all have an equal opportunity to reach Allah. And Jibreel alayhi salam saying, I have found nobody. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, ke yahi bole sidra wale, chaman e jaha ke thale, sabhi maine chhan dale, tere paaye ka na paaya, tujhe yak ne yak banaya, tujhe yak ne yak banaya. One Allah has made one Muhammad, there is none like Muhammad. And I have seen all the creation of Allah. I have exhausted myself in finding an equivalent to Muhammad, but I have failed. There is none like Muhammad. Muhammad is one, his Lord is one. One Lord has created one Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what we believe. This is the belief of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an. But these people, they believe the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like us. Al-Ayadu Billah. I don't remember if I told you last time when I came. Do you know that we are all Mumkinul Wujud. Our existence is possible. Our existence is possible. Allah is the only one who is Wajibul Wujud. His existence is wajib. It is impossible for Allah to not exist. Allah's existence has always been, will always remain. He is wajibul wujud. His wujud is absolutely necessary. And we are all mumkinul wujud. Our existence is possible. We exist, we don't exist, doesn't make a difference. Everything that is mumkinul wujud is bound by time and space. We are bound by time and space. We cannot exist outside time and space. We sitting here or standing here, we are within a space and we are within time. We cannot leave time and space. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wajibul wujud, free from time and space. He, Allah, does not come into time, Allah does not come into space. And that's why it is our aqidah that we don't say Allah yaha maujood hai. We don't say that. Because if we say Allah is in this room or in this hall, in this masjid, then that means that the walls and the ceiling has overwhelmed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is impossible. Nothing can overwhelm or overcome Allah. Allah is free from time and space. What we say is Allahu al-alimul khabirul sami'ul basir. Allah's knowledge is everywhere. Allah's hearing is everywhere. Allah sees everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power is everywhere. But Allah does not exist in time and space. Allah is free from time and space. Do you know when Sayyiduna Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Mi'raj? He went to Mi'raj, and over there in Mi'raj, he came to Sidratul Muntaha, the end of time and space. And Jibreel alayhi salam says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I cannot move further than this. I cannot go ahead. I cannot go further than this. Do you know why Jibreel alayhi salam said this? He said, Mere par jal jayenge. Hana, my wings will burn. What he meant to say is, Ke Ya Rasulullah, I am mumkinul wujud. My existence is possible. I am bound by time and space, and therefore I cannot leave because there is no time and space there. But you know, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he went. Jibreel can't go, but he sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed time and space. He went through time and space. Subhanallah. The philosophers say that that is impossible. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left time and space. And that is why Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, ke mumkin mein ye qudrat kaha? Mumkin mein ye qudrat kaha? Aur wajib mein abdiyat kaha? If Ya Rasulullah, I say you are mumkinul wujud, then how did you have the power to go past time and space? And if I say you are wajib, then wajib mein abdiyat kaha, you are worshipping Allah. He who is wajib doesn't worship anybody. So Ya Rasulullah, hairahu. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala an, do you know he came into this world, Allah gave him so much knowledge and intellect to fight against the Nichiris who used their intellect for their beliefs. Allah Hazrat's intellect was far greater than them. His intellect gives up here. He says, Hairahu, ye bhi hai khata, ke ye bhi nahi, wo bhi nahi. Even this is a mistake. If I say that, Ya Rasulullah, you are neither wajib, neither mumkin, ye bhi khata hai, main to hairan hu, kya kya kahu tujhe, Ya Rasulullah. This is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khirad se keh do ke sar jhuka le. Ala Hazrat says, Khirad meaning aql. Khirad se keh do ke sar jhuka le, guma se guzre guzarne wale. Pare hai ya khud jihad ke lale, kise bataye kidhar gaye the. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he went, how can we tell you? Wahan na koi kaif tha na ila tha. There was nothing there, there was no time, there was no space. Tell Mufti Menk that do you know where he went? Kise bataye, tell him to lower his intellect when it comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a mu'jiza himself. He is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he who is a sign of Allah and a mu'jiza himself, his to understand that person is beyond our understanding. If Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, ke even, never mind me, my father Abu Quhafa has no idea what his status is, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's status, then who is Mufti Meng to know that he is just like us and we have an equal opportunity to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from such distorted beliefs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman and give us the tawfiq to stay away from those who may take away our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to remain on the straight path. Why do you think you say in your namaz every day, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim? Why are you saying this? Because there are these fitnas, because there are people like this. That is why Allah has ordered us and showed us this is how we make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on that straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on the path of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored. And may Allah protect us from those who have earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa ma'alayna illa al-balagh. Jazakallahu khairan.